want to hear it. Okay, we are in our New Christians class. Glad we could make it work. I was prepared to do it, but I wasn't sure if we were going to have the right weather. I think the weather's okay, so I'm glad we could do it. So, just to kind of recap a little bit where we were at in our class, we talked about how the Bible, before we can take it apart book by book, which is what we want to eventually get to, right? We need to understand how it's arranged together, right? Book by book. How is it all kind of fit together? And I made the point, does not the whole consist of the parts? It does not the whole assist in the comprehension of the parts, right? Absolutely. It certainly does. And so I also use the illustration about, you know, if you saw a painting, right? And how are you going to look at it? Are you just going to uncover one little piece of it? You wouldn't really know what you're looking at, would you? Or would you uncover just a little bit more? I'm starting to get some clues of what it may be. All right, what do you think? What do you think it could be?
Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark? Okay. Still not enough, right? That's how a lot of times when we're new to the Bible, right? New Christians, right? We're like, I'm going to just dive in really hard. I'm going to get all these books and choose about Revelation. I'm going to start in Revelation. I'm going to try. And that's, we're trying to figure out one little small piece and happens to be one of the most difficult pieces instead of really understanding the whole. As we begin to look at the whole, we begin to see more of the picture, don't we, right? And when we do understand the whole, maybe things we didn't see before begin to emerge, right? That's how we would look at a painting first, the whole, and then going in towards the details. Can you see the value in that, the importance of that? And so the things that we'll talk about today, and you know, understanding the Bible from this higher level is vitally important. And what we do on our Bible class with, you know, Romans, Rich is teaching us, I mean, that's very important as well, too. And usually it's addressing, and we call it the adult class, right? So from our perspective, it's those that have gone through children's classes, they've been raised to know that, and then now they've come to the adult class where we can start to study these individual pieces because the whole has been given. But one reason why we have this class, and I was mentioning about, you know, Tim not being here, not all had that kind of raising. Not all were privileged to that. And so then to dive into the book of Romans is just looking at like just that small little snapshot if you don't have a better understanding of the whole. So it is so good to do both. But of course, you've got to start with one before you can get to the other. You all could see the little girl's face, couldn't you? Okay, I just had to make sure. All right, good. Okay, so I asked the question too, what are the two big divisions of the Bible? And you said?
Old Testament, New Testament.
That's right, Old Testament, New Testament. And I asked the question, how did you know that? Right? Yeah, so a lot of it would be probably from children's classes, we just don't remember when, right? If we're older and we start into the Bible, we say, well, I picked it up, I opened up, and there's the Old Testament, and then I began to read from there. And so there are these ways in which we begin to pick up. There is this great division in the Bible that is very important. The big picture approach will help us to understand the individual books of the Bible and how they fit. So just understand right there makes us realize, okay, there is a system to this great book with at least two divisions, the Old and the New Testament. What we begin to learn very quickly, though, is that these books within the Old Testament and within the New Testament are also arranged in divisions themselves. And I think that's important to notice as well. You might, if you want to, if you got a table of contents in your Bible, you can open up there.
Romans
And we can see a list of all the books there in the Old Testament and all the books in the New Testament. And what we learn is that they are arranged in our Bibles not by chronological order, but more of a general division of what the book was doing or trying to describe. So the first five books of the Bible are referred to as the books of law. Okay? So, and I might also mention this too, that it's not limited to just one kind of literature, because sometimes we'll find different genres of literature, like poetry or historical writing or various kinds of things within each particular division. But they're categorized mainly by their subject matter. And so here you have the books referred to books of law: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are written by Moses. And so Moses was considered, you know, the great lawgiver. And he gave a historical narrative of where basically all humankind came from, but primarily dealing with this great promise of God building a people, a nation, and then even a farther off promise that through the seed of Abraham, all the earth shall be blessed. But within Moses' time period was the time of law given on Mount Sinai to the Israelites. And so those are those first five books. Then following that is about 1,000 years of history. We call the next 12 books the books of history, from about 1400 to 400 BC, or maybe 1500 to 400 BC, or a little bit before 400 BC. So you've got about 1,000 years that are covered there of the Israelites in the promised land and the things that they are doing and going through within that particular land. Again, it's not covering things chronologically, because you have things here within the books of history, for example, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, that take place in a much later time period than Joshua and Judges and Ruth when they're first coming to the land. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther is when they're actually returning back to the land, because they were taken out of, from captivity. So you'd have some of these other books, you know, that would predate the writings of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. So we're learning, this is not chronological order of history, that there's book one and here's the last book and that's the exact order of the history. No, no. These are grouped this way because of their general classification. So those are books of history. Then following that are books of poetry, or sometimes referred to as wisdom literature. And so their genre is going to be dealing a lot with poetry. Not always poetry, but by and large, or wise sayings. I find it interesting that these books right here are honored by all people almost across the world. You can talk about people, if you talk about Job and the life of Job, suffering like Job, people know what that means even if they're not a Christian often. You know, or some of the Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Psalm 23, again, non-Christians are familiar with this. So to me, that really stands out as like the divine stamp print from God, because no one's around, at least I've never met folks that are so familiar with certain Quranic writings, right? And they're quoting it. Oh, it's like, you know, Surah 147 says, you know, no one, you don't ever hear anything like that. But the world does know about Psalm 23 or some of these wise sayings in the book of Proverbs. So these are the books of poetry, and that's how they're ordered next within our Bibles. Any questions so far? Yes.
Why do you think the chronological order is so out of order?
This is the reason. So when the Jews, when they wanted to classify the books together, this is how they arranged them. Yes. There may have been slight differences in some of the orderings, or even some of the titles, but this ended up being, as providence works out through time, the settled upon order.
That's what I was thinking of. Maybe they were finding, you know, like certain books at certain times, like, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes. Maybe they didn't find those writings until 100 years later after, you know, something else had been written.
No. That's not correct. So, you know, by the time the 400 years of silence has taken place, the Jews are familiar with the books. And especially by the time Jesus arrives on the scene as well. So they understood which were considered inspired writings of God. But synagogues, you know, they used scrolls in those times. And so this might have been a way in which they classified them. What are we going to study and read today? You know, and so they would go to certain classifications as opposed to chronology. Yeah, good question. Anybody else? Yes.
Just, it was interesting when I was in Russia several years ago, they actually lumped, I think it's the Kings and the Chronicles together. So
yes.
They're not first and second.
Right.
We have it in our English Bible.
Yes, so that's what I was saying. Some of the names had been changed, you know. Instead of 1st and 2nd Samuel, it was 1st Kings, 2nd Kings. Then at 1st and 2nd Kings was 3rd Kings and 4th Kings. And so, yes, in time, as providence works out, these become the arrived upon names and designations. Okay. So, next is the major prophets and the minor prophets. And does anyone know why they're titled major and minor? Okay, so it's not because they're better and they're lesser, you know? Yeah, that's right.
Old Testament, New Testament?
Huh?
Old Testament, New Testament?
No, major and minor. Why are they called major and minor? Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, because they're Old Testament. No, they're all Old Testament still. They're all still under the Old Testament. But it's what Liz had said. It has to do with classification with the size of the book. Yeah, so it has nothing really to do with the person, just the size. Of the book. And so that's how they, again, may have stored those scrolls back then. Isaiah would have been a pretty meaty scroll compared to, you know, one or two pages of Micah or Malachi or something like that. Those are the prophets of the Old Testament. And that's why we have the books in order this way. And if you've studied, or I should say, if you've memorized the books of the Bible, this is how you're going to memorize them, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st. Because this is the order that we'd find them in Scripture. And order helps us so that when it comes to reciting Scripture or finding Scripture, when someone says, turn to 2 Kings, right? We're all going to have a general idea of where that is in our Bibles. As opposed to mine being in the back and yours being in the front, right? And everybody flipping all over the place. It's because there's this agreed upon order of the books of the Bible. So that makes up the Old Testament divisions. And you can see the numbers that go along with these divisions. 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. That was something we... not all of you were here, but during the pandemic we had a... just one class out in the auditorium, and we worked on things like this to memorize books of the divisions of the Bible, memorize books of the Bible. We memorized the numbers of the divisions, even the very first book of each division. So that way we could always know if we needed to get to a particular division of the Bible, just the first book real quick, we'd be able to know we're in that new division. So those are things we worked on. Okay, New Testament divisions. You've got the four books that are considered the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we believe that Matthew had primarily the Jews as an audience in mind by how much Old Testament scripture he's citing to prove that Jesus is the Christ. Mark, we believe, had more of the Roman public in mind. This is a very short reciting of Jesus' life. Luke, more like a Greek audience, like himself, as he was. And so he beautifully steps through various parts of Jesus' life. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke were the main writings for the first part of the early church, till 30 years later, John writes. And you, as we studied John recently in sermon series, is much different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the sense that he fills in some other stories that those did not cover. Now, the book of history is the book of Acts. Now, Acts here is referring to the history of the first Christians or the early church. So whereas the Gospels were written so that it would lead one to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the book of history, Acts, is teaching one how can one become then a Christian. And to learn about how one did that historically in the New Testament, and then also how the early church conducted its work and worship and its organization. So the Gospels led one to believe in Christ. Acts led one to know how to become a Christian, to be one in Christ. And then following that are the letters to the Christians. So these were a guide to the first Christians and the early church as well. So the first one, leading one to believe in Christ. The second one, how to become a Christian. And then the third category here was guidance for Christians. And so we're studying Romans. You know, it's not necessarily instruction there given to someone that wasn't a Christian. Paul was writing to the saints which are at Rome. So it's guidance to Christians. So Gospels and history is where you'd want to be if you're trying to teach someone the truth, to one to be convinced in Jesus and how to become a Christian. And then the last category is the category of prophecy there of the book of Revelation. It was in essence teaching one how to stay faithful. To stay faithful. Encouragement to stay and remain in the faith. Be faithful in death and I'll give you the crown of life is a great summary text, Revelation 2:10 of that entire book. Now, we'll talk more later on about genres, literary genres, but this one falls into what's called apocalyptic genre, where apocalyptic writing just talks about an unveiling. So something's very hidden and one has to work for it to be unveiled. So that kind of genre usually involved dramatic action, strange characters, symbols, numbers, all of those kinds of things. You find that kind of style of writing in the Old Testament. Daniel's chapter 7 through 12 is a good example. You see Jesus use that kind of style in Matthew chapter 24. And so the idea is that maybe the surface reading is not the exact meaning, but one is able to derive the exact meaning by understanding the genre, the literature that's being used, and then interpreting those symbols accordingly. So that's where that book comes into play. The divisions here, 4:1, 21:1. Right? We mentioned that in our class. Those numbers just kind of roll off easy. 5:12, 5:12, 4:1, 21:1, right? And so those are easy to memorize. That's how our Bibles are written. That's the order in which we find the books in. It's not necessarily chronological order. Comments or questions about this?
What's the importance of the numbers?
Just a memory technique. So if you're trying to remember the divisions of the Old Testament, 5:12, 5:5:12, right? So it's just another way to connect, okay, 5 books of law, 12 books of history, 5 books of poetry, right? 5 major prophets, 12 minor prophets. 4:1, 21:1. No, it's just a memory saving device, right? Four Gospels, one history, 21 letters, one book of prophecy. Yes.
And I was thinking that way too. If you had to write them out and you count them, you go, "Oh, I only have 10. Okay, I need two more."
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're talking about that big portrait, right? The big picture. We're trying to understand our Bibles. It's going to be important for us to understand the way these books are then. Why are they in the order they're in? It's because of this right here. It's because of their general classification, these divisions right here. And remember, you have a span of about 1,600 years right here of what, from the big first writing, Moses back there in Genesis, and all the way up to John laying down his pen on the island of Patmos in Revelation. 40 different authors, even though there's one just divine author that inspired those 40 men to write over a period of about 1,600 years, beginning to end. I love that because that, to me, that is like one of the most impressive things to impact someone as to why you believe in the inspiration of the Bible. There's no other book that has taken 1,600 years to complete. You know, so now you definitely know you have a book that could not last, you know, one or two lifetimes or a few generations. It spanned many, many. And for it to still be harmonious, for it to still have the same tone and tenor and sound from beginning to end, makes you realize it required someone that was timeless. It required God to inspire these different men to write. And men from different parts of the world, different occupations, you know, from shepherd to king, to a sheep breeder in Tekoa, you know, all these different ones to write, a tax collector, you know, and yet they still spoke this very harmonious message. It doesn't have contradiction. No other book can claim that in all the entire world. Nothing. No other religious book or religious text can claim such evidence like that. Okay. Before we move on, last thoughts about any of this? Okay, so we want to look at the Bible from this high part because this is the way in which we see the order and arrangements of the books of the Bible, right? We're going to turn to it. Steve says up here, hey, turn to certain thing. I'm going to need to know where those are. And so if you don't know the books of your Bible memorized, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Excellent. Romans, first, second, right? You got to work on that. Work on that this coming month. You know, try to do that. When I was a younger person and I was getting serious about studying the Bible and learning about it, that's where I had to start. I wanted to get into, like, I want to know, you know, the meat of stuff better. But I realized, like, I didn't even have the books of the Bible memorized. And so before I'd go into my job at work, I'd write down five books of the Bible on a 3x5 card, and I put it in my pocket. You know, at lunchtime, I'd pull it out, you know, try and work on it throughout the day. You're waiting for a customer to come in, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, you just work on five. Once you get the five down, I'd put another five down on the card. So I would break it up, divide and conquer, right? Just little by little. And before you know it, you're stringing them all together. You know, as a child, you learn it by the songs, right? We know the songs, you know. Even the Old Testament had a song as well. But as you get older, you're like, I kind of like to know it without the song, right? And you don't realize, like, how your brain doesn't work that way. You know, a lot of times you're like, whoa, I gotta learn it a different way without the song. And so that's where that 3x5 card comes in. And you start to learn it, and then it becomes easier for you to turn to those scriptures, you know, when it comes to service time. So that's a high-level picture right there. The second high-level is our 17 time periods of the Bible. This is now where we look at the Bible in chronological order. Okay? This is understanding the historical picture of the Bible, regardless of where the book fits in. And I think this is just as valuable to know from a high level as the other one. So the first one is like where I can find it in the Bible. Then this one is like, okay, now I'm reading the Bible. where does this fit in the whole scheme of things? I don't understand. Where do I plug this book in? You know? So it's going to be the merging of these two that gets us to that point where we're like, okay, now I'm starting to see. Now I'm starting to see that picture, right? What was it? A cougar and the bird, and there's the lady's face, right? Because now you see the history of it, okay? Because it is in some ways a book of history, though it's not put in historical order. So let's talk about this for a little bit. Again, this was something we worked to memorize during that COVID time period, and a lot of us were able to do that, where we can rattle off all those sections. And one thing that I mentioned was that you can consider each one of these sections as like a file in a filing cabinet. And this would be the label on that file. And then within it would have all that separate information that speaks to that category in biblical history. So I may not always like rattle off every single historical aspect in that particular category, but if I can remember the main category, eventually that'll get me into the file itself. So, for example, before the flood, when I speak about the historical time before the flood, can you think of some of the things that would fit within that file?
The garden.
Garden, creation, yes. First temptation, yes. Say again.
Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel, okay, so we're now historical people, right? All right, good. Even Noah, right? Because Noah existed 600 years before the flood and did a lot and had to build the ark. But you can see then after that, there's a change in history, right? The world is kind of reset and starts over again after the flood. And then there's categories of people that fit into that and events as well. Okay? So what I thought would be helpful for us is if, and I did print these off for y'all. So if you want to take one, pass it down. Is to maybe attach the books to these particular periods of history. And what you can do, because I don't know if you are, I always recommend to be a Bible writer. Write in your Bibles, right? Take your notes. That way it's always there with you. It actually helps you memorize the Bible better because you kind of remember your notes that you have in there and what it looks like on the page. I would suggest afterwards to write in on the top of your Bible section for each book this period of history. So you'll work over the next month to memorize these periods of history, and then you're going to have also attached to each book that particular period of history that it's in, so that you know when you're in it, you're like, oh, where am I in this? Okay, that's the periods of history that it fits. So the first book of the Bible is relatively easy, right? Which periods of history would we write down there for the before the flood? I mean, sorry, which book would we write before the flood? Genesis, right? What about the flood? Good. What about scattering of the people? Good. Patriarchs. Good. All right. So you would just write down, like I did, Genesis right there for all of those four. Look at that. Just like that, we took out one entire line, right? Genesis for those first four periods of the Bible. The next book of the Bible is Exodus. Where do you think Exodus goes?
Exodus
from Egypt. That's right. Yes. Yeah, so we got some easy ones done. What about wandering in the wilderness? There you go. Yeah. So you put down Exodus on that one as well. Numbers. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, excuse me. There you go. So I just put down like here, Exodus through Deuteronomy, right? So I know when I go into my particular Bible page, I'm going to write on Numbers, wandering in the wilderness, Deuteronomy, wandering in the wilderness. That's the particular Bible history that it's a part of. Invasion and conquest, right, of the promised land. They had to invade it. They had to conquer it. Joshua, that's right. So Joshua would go there. What about the Judges? There you go. Good job, Paul. Judges. And you know what else? You would put a little 1 Samuel, right? You'd have to put 1 Samuel because Samuel was the last judge. You mean Chronicles? So Chronicles doesn't deal with the Judges. So that comes to the United Kingdom. 1 and 2 Samuel, right? Or 1 Samuel, 1 Kings. Wait, it is 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel Kings, because there's a portion of it, right? There's a portion of it as United Kingdom, because you've got Solomon, who is also when the kingdom was united. So you got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel Kings, and then you would also have 1 and 2 Chronicles, because there's a portion of it. So you just want to know, there's going to be these portions of Bible history within these books. Now, when you get to the divided kingdom, you wouldn't mention the books of Samuel, but you would have 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. The divided kingdom is where Judah and Israel separate, right? And they each have their own king. They're divided. And then eventually you have Judah alone. So you would have 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, because both of those deal with that time period of where Judah's alone. Yes, Brandon.
You said Judges was Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, Judges wouldn't be 2 Samuel, would they? Only 1 Samuel?
1 Samuel. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then you also have, so 1 Samuel Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Okay, that's return of captivity. So when you get to captivity, you have some of those prophets we've been studying. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. That's when all of Israel's in captivity. Return from captivity is Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. All right. Now what I'm going to do is cover the major and minor prophets, because that's where a lot of people don't know where those exactly fit in. So with major and minor prophets, you have Isaiah, who is part of the divided kingdom, and Judah alone. In the divided kingdom, oh, and I already mentioned Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Okay. In the divided kingdom, for the minor prophets, you have Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah. It's interesting. Those happen to be in the order in which we find them in Scripture for the divided kingdom. Then next in order is Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. Those are also in order as well for Judah alone. Too fast for you, Brandon?
I'm kind of confused.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Maybe it would have been better if we wrote it on this one. Because they're on the order there. Okay, so let's actually just go ahead and flip over to that. That might actually help. So with Isaiah, you see, we'll start back in the major prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah we have in the divided kingdom and Judah alone. Then the last of the major prophets, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those are all Judah alone. I'm sorry. No. My bad. Now I've got to go back and forth. Jeremiah and Lamentation is Judah alone. Ezekiel, Daniel is captivity. Then the minor prophets, Hosea through Micah is the divided kingdom. Then Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, those are Judah alone. And then the last three minor prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, is return from captivity. That's the period that it covers, return from captivity. Joel and Obadiah are divided kingdom. Okay. Now, we're still not done with the Old Testament. As you'll notice, we didn't cover like the books of poetry. So Job, you put in the patriarchs. That's his time period that he fits in. He's in the patriarchs with Abraham. And then for the poetry, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, those are the United Kingdom. That's where those books fit. The United Kingdom. And I bet you guys can figure out these periods of history. Right? Gospels, Acts, Romans, Revelation. Yes, Sarah. Oh, yeah. Ruth, that would be Judges too. Thank you. I really didn't even have that written down. You're right. Ruth is in Judges. Thank you. All right. We're almost out of time. Well, basically, we are out of time. Any final questions or anything I need to recover? Okay. So try to, in the next month, memorize the books of your Bible, memorize the divisions, memorize the 17 time periods, and then put those time periods, if you can, in each, you know, subtitle of the book so you kind of know, okay, that's kind of the Bible, periods of Bible history it's covering. All right. Thanks, guys.
Is that Letters to the Christians?
Huh?
Revelation?
Yes. Romans to Revelation is Letters to the Christians. Hey, man. I realize that my phone is on Do Not Disturb till like a certain time of day. Because I was like, why is my not? I'm like literally on my phone, and I don't even see like anyone called until I look.
It don't alert you or nothing.
No, it doesn't alert me or nothing.
I've noticed it like when I text you, it'll say you've got your phone set to sleep or something like that. It might be your.
It must be a setting that I set a long time ago and just.
Yeah, I think it's a.
Just forgot about it. Hey, TJ. Yeah. I was like, what? So we were, yeah, just missing each other. I figured it was just about the driving here or something. The text usually will come through, though, for some reason, but not the phone calls. You're good. You're good. You get them all?
I'm gonna make sure those are the right one.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey.
Doing all right? Good. Hey, I was going to ask you about, I got a new phone. And I was thinking about getting that same kind of like privacy kind of car. Where did you get it?
And Amazon.
Amazon's where
what
you got
California?
It? The latest one, 16 Pro Max.
Ooh, you got the.
Yeah.
I got the Plus.
Yeah.
16.
I went Pro Max.
Yeah.
And you can see it when it's straight on, but when it goes to the side.
Way, I decided to do it this time.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they're right there.
I wasn't sure, like, does it. Is it, like, see how I set my phone down in the pulpit?
You can
do
see
my charts.
Perfectly.
I'd be able to see it.
But now when you go like that, you can't. And so no one else can either.
Gotcha.
So.
Just
be almost head on.
So it can be like this.
Oh yeah.
And you can see it on.
Perfectly.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
Perfectly. So you went all out.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was like.
I was thinking about it, but I don't know if I'd ever use that stuff.
Oh, well, my last one's like an 8. So, I wear them out. To the wheels run off.
It's a big upgrade, huh?
Yeah. I haven't even set it up yet. I need to set it up still. I'm going to set it up with it's a group called Ifani, and they you can use your Verizon, AT&T, and all that kind of stuff, but it's a security company that stops SIM swaps. And so that's what I'm doing, because you hear more and more of those SIM swaps taking place. And
yeah, mine's a eSIM, so there's no physical.
Yeah, they can still like call your company, say, hey, I'm Rich Brooks. And then swap out theirs.
I turned it on, SIM access off on my phone, so they can't. And now, I didn't know about it until a couple months ago. My old friend said, okay, turn it off.
SIM access. Interesting. Interesting.
So that's an option. An option that you can do too, just lock it.
Lock your SIM. And then you have
no one can get access to it. Your provider, people can't get into it apparently, so it's just you.
Just you can get into it. And if you want to upgrade, then you have to unlock it, I guess.
Yeah, get unlocked.
Gotcha. Interesting. Interesting. We got everybody here. Is Thor not going to be here? He's opening prayer scripture reading. Let's see. Thomas at the table, TJ Gomer, Paul, me, TJ Higdon, Tim Nelson. TJ Gomer, Tim Gomer, Paul. Let's see. Opening prayer, scripture reading.
He's a little worried about that. Still sitting in his house.
Yeah, he might have thought like it was too icy to get out.
I sent him a message. The roads were clear.
Oh, did you?
The roads were not. I was outside this morning getting ready to come in. There's a little bit of. There was ice on the road, so more like a slushy stuff, but we're going to come.
Well, we have most of the men here. We could probably still have our business meeting afterwards. What do you think?
Yeah. That's right. This is the first time.
Yeah.
Why not?
This was some Thor and Tim, but that's pretty much everybody else is here. Okay. All right. Good to see everybody this afternoon. Right. That was a tough call. I'd got up around 7:30 and everything looked pretty good in my opinion. I get up and go out around 8 o'clock and it just looked a little bit more. Still okay. Go and take a shower. Check my phone. I had 12 messages. Like, whoa. All of a sudden, everybody wanting to know. So it looked like it was just best to just play it safe. And do this 2 o'clock service. I appreciate everybody's understanding and being willing to be flexible for our services today. Okay, we've got to pray for our sister Cox as she is shut in. Also remember Lyric. This January is when she's supposed to be having her follow-up visits. We're praying for Sam's dad as well and his health. Also mentioned Thor's wife's brother. To pray for him. I've been praying for my mother and her cancer treatments, and we're thankful to God for the good news we've been getting from the results of those, but just keep praying for her that we'll keep getting good news. Remember Justin, as he's going to be traveling here very shortly back to Thailand and Laos. That he'll be with his wife. Pray that it's a safe trip. And pray for his wife and the baby that she carries as well, for everything to go well. Let's see, Justin's going to be doing some preaching out there too, so we're praying for the teaching work he'll be doing there. And that's all I have listed here for announcements. I know there's some that are staying in because where they're at, it's too slick for them to get out. So we understand that. All right. Songs this morning, or this afternoon, be led by T.J. Gomer. Number 28 will be the first song. I'll have the opening prayer and the scripture reading. Thomas has the Lord's table, assisted by T.J. Gomer and Paul. And all of the sermon, T.J. Higdon has the closing prayer. Oh, and I meant to mention this as well, too. Men, if it's okay, let's go ahead and still have our scheduled quarterly business meeting just quickly after services. I don't suspect it will take too long. Thank you. For me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest. For me, so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed. Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? Is it for me thy welcome, thy gracious entering? For me thy come, ye blessed, for me so full of sin. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but